TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. International campaigns to abolish nuclear weapons. Don't bank on the bomb. And the nuclear abolition movement. Pax Christi is the international Catholic peace movement based in the Netherlands. Their project, Don't Bank on the Bomb, identified 411 banks, pension funds, insurance companies, and asset managers in 31 countries. They have substantial investments in corporations that produce nuclear weapons. It is rather breathtaking to go through that website and recognize the dominance of U.S. private industry and finance in nuclear weapons production. Also, to realize that it is not just the too large to fail banks that are involved, such as Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citi and Wells Fargo and Bank of America. Even pension funds for teachers or firefighters are invested in nuclear weapons, as well as insurance companies that cover our cars or homes. And therein lies the opportunity for anyone who uses banking and insurance to demand divestment. Don't Bank on the Bomb works with ICANN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. Together, they're organizing appeals to financial institutions to stop investing in the nuclear arms industry. Because any use of nuclear weapons violates international law and has catastrophic humanitarian consequences. Susie Snyder is the Nuclear Disarmament Program Manager for PAX and the author of the annual report, Don't Bank on the Bomb, and you will hear from her in a moment. There was, however, one important event that occurred after she gave her speech on March 1st, and that was the four-week-long 2015 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference in New York City. If anybody had hoped for an agreement on nuclear disarmament, that hope was finally laid to rest in the last plenary session. The International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War posted their assessment of the NPT conference on their website. Here's their conclusion, quote, "In the closing plenary, one state after another regretted the lack of consensus, called it a sad day for the non-proliferation treaty, and gave others the blame. But the one state that said nothing, and as a non-state party, was not in a position to say anything, was Israel. And because this one state refused to agree to setting a date for a conference on a zone free of weapons of mass destruction, the conference failed. And yet, something did happen at the NPT. The 9 nuclear weapon states are now being confronted by 107 states who endorsed the humanitarian pledge. They will work towards finding the legal instrument and a treaty that would eliminate all nuclear weapons." Now you will hear from Susie Snyder. She spoke at the symposium on the dynamics of possible nuclear extinction on March 1st, 2015 in New York. She was introduced by her friend and colleague, Ray Aitchison, director of Reaching Critical Will.
Our third speaker for this panel is Susie Snyder, and she is the Nuclear Disarmament Program Manager at PAX in the Netherlands. Susie used to be the Secretary General of WILP, which means she used to be my boss. She actually hired me for this job, so thanks for that, Susie. She's going to talk to us today about the corporations involved in nuclear weapons production.
Thank you all for coming. It's been really interesting these last couple of days, listening to a lot of these problems, a lot of the horror, the doom and gloom associated with nuclear weapons. And they're things that we think about often in the abstract, that only politicians or governments can actually do anything about. And we kind of tend to feel like our role is only to influence those who create and implement policy. But I want to talk about something that you and I and every single person in this room can do about nuclear weapons. I want to talk about how we can take the power back and reject the idea that nuclear weapons are just totally disempowering. So today, I'm going to talk about what we can do. Because we can act to stigmatize nuclear weapons. By stigmatizing them, we will help to outlaw them and eliminate them. And the stigma is so important. They are unacceptable in our human society. And by following the money, and that's what we do with our report, we track down the money. By following the money, we can cut off the money for nuclear weapons. And it's not the only thing we need to do to outlaw and eliminate them, but it's something that every single one of us here can do, and I hope will do today. And we do it because the 9 nuclear-armed states are planning to spend more than $1 trillion U.S. dollars over the next decade to maintain and modernize their arsenals. So, the majority of that money comes from taxpayers in the nuclear-armed countries, but Don't Bank on the Bomb, which is this report I'm talking about, shows that 411 banks, pension funds, asset managers, financial institutions in 31 countries, they have also invested, and they've invested $402 billion in 28 companies that are involved in the production of nuclear weapons. Now, our research, we focus on the nuclear arsenals in France, India, the UK, and the US. And we do that simply because the arsenals in other countries, they're operated and maintained by government agencies and don't have external investment. So it's just a limitation that way. I figure I'll be straight up from the beginning. But a wide range of financial institutions operate in our world. And there are things like privately owned companies, state-owned institutions, banks, insurance companies, investment funds, investment banks, pension funds, export credit agencies. There's a lot of institutions that fit in this financial institution category. For ease of reference, I'll just call them banks, because they're a lot more than banks, but banks is easier to say. And a lot of corporations in the world rely on financial markets and these institutions to provide them with operating capital. They play a significant role in every aspect of human activity. And in choosing what companies and projects they finance and invest in, financial institutions play a significant role in our world. And they choose to avoid investments in controversial items, like tobacco. Like nuclear weapons. So with each update of this report, we first look at what companies are involved. And there was a question on this earlier, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the producers. These companies are mostly located in nuclear-armed countries, but not all of them. Finmeccanica is an Italian company. Airbus is Dutch. A lot of them are. Thyssen Group is a German company. But they're mostly in nuclear-armed countries. And we identified 28 of them. And I know that you've heard about Lockheed Martin. I know that you've heard about Raytheon. But you may not know that Boeing and Airbus also have a role to play when it comes to the production and maintenance of nuclear weapons. Now, these companies provide key components to develop, test, maintain, and modernize nuclear arsenals. The contracts that these companies have with nuclear-armed countries are for materials and services to keep nuclear weapons alive and ready in those arsenals, the modernization that Hans was talking about earlier. And in other countries like Russia, China, Pakistan, and North Korea, as I said earlier, the maintenance and modernization is done primarily by government agencies. And of course, our report, as I said before, we follow the money. So we look at where are the investors. Who's investing? We call this section of the report the Hall of Shame. I think it's appropriate. And this is where we show these 411 institutions. Go online and look at don'tbankonthebomb.com and see the list of investors, handily sorted for you by country and alphabetically. And we list in this, we list the parent companies. So it's a really important thing to keep in mind because, for example, you look for, oh, is there anybody in Austria? And you won't find Bank of Austria because Bank of Austria is a subsidiary of UniCredit. But UniCredit is in there. And so this is tricky. On your bank's website, it has at the bottom a subsidiary of blah, 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 or so-and-so is the parent company. Your pension fund does the same. It's very easy to check this, but because of the sheer number of financial institutions operating in the world, we only list the parent companies. And most of them are in the US. In fact, 239 of them are here in the US, more than half. And the top three investors, State Street, Capital Group, and you may have heard of BlackRock. They're quite high up on this list. Together, they've invested more than 80 billion US dollars. I don't think anyone here will really be surprised that JP Morgan Chase is an investor. But let me ask you this. Did you know that Blue Cross and Blue Shield also has investments in nuclear weapon producers? I see by your faces you didn't. They actually have $8 million invested in these companies. That is not a lot of money, and it's easy to get them to change. They probably don't even know. But if you are a Blue Cross Blue Shield client, you can tell them. It works. State Street, as I said, is the biggest investor we've identified, over $28 billion. But State Farm? State Farm is there too. And State Farm has $252 million invested. TIAA CREF, which I believe is the teacher's pension fund, they have more than $3 billion invested in nuclear weapon producers. TIAA CREF. The New Jersey Department of the Treasury. New Jersey Department of the Treasury holds the pensions for firefighters and cops across the river. They have $119 million invested in nuclear weapon producers. It's quite a lot. But probably most of them don't even know. They're like, oh, we're invested in Boeing. Boeing makes airplanes. Good investment. Airbus makes airplanes. No problem. And when they find out, what we have learned in doing this report, when they're reached out to by clients, they back off. They say, what? Wait, no. When the media contacts them to get a comment, they say, oh, no, of course not. We don't invest in nuclear weapon producers. We don't want to have anything to do with nuclear weapons. And so we talk to them some more, and we get them to put in a policy. And that takes me to my favorite part of this report, the good guys. Because some institutions already divest. They have really clear and explicit policies that make no exceptions for any type of nuclear weapon or crucial component, any type of activity by nuclear weapon producers, any type of financing. So they apply it to all of their products. In our Hall of Fame and our runners-up sections of this report, we profile 33 financial institutions with policies that prohibit or limit their investments in companies associated with nuclear weapons. Hall of Fame absolutely are the best. We have 8 of them. These are comprehensive in scope and application. They're right now the ones that we have identified because we only know about them when people tell us about them. We can't contact every financial institution in the world. That's a little bit much. But when we hear about a policy or a potential policy, we investigate. We're on it. Tell us if you find out. The ones that we have are in Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, and Sweden. And it's a mix of ethical banks, government-managed, and private institutions. I'm happy to say that my bank's in there. I moved to a different bank. But we want to show, by producing this list, that it is possible and that these institutions can and do make these decisions. And we double-check, and we're scrupulous. Like, we kicked somebody off this year because we found out that they had a small investment, like a very, very small stock holding in Leidos. And we said, oh, sorry, you guys, we have to kick you off our list. They're like, no, we'll sell it, we'll sell it. We're like, yeah, but at our time of investigation, you show up on our list. Sorry, you're out. They've since sold that stock very happily. In the runners-up category, we show another 27 financial institutions. Now, these are a mix. They have a policy. Some of them are really good policy, but they still have a tiny little investment. Some are a really lousy policy, like they won't invest in any nuclear weapon-associated country operating in, you know, North Korea. Like, that's not really, you know, much of a policy. But we do give them some credit for at least trying and recognizing nuclear weapons are not something their clients want to be associated with, because it's your money at the end of the day. And we have the most conversations with these institutions in this runners-up category, and it is amazing. They contact us and ask us, how do we get into the Hall of Fame? How do we disassociate from the stigma of nuclear weapons? And we're always looking for more. So we've already started a process for the 2015 update of this report. It'll be out in November. It's a long, exhaustive research process. And we'll be looking into another 20 or 30 financial institutions. In fact, we came across, helpfully, by some financial institutions. They said, hey, we noticed that our buddies are not in your list. What about these guys? We want more people in the list. More people want to be the good guys. Nobody wants to be a bad guy. And it's building up these policies is where we can have like a systemic impact. And it's where you can help. We found public pressure can change the policy of financial institutions and encourage the development of policies that prohibit any association with nuclear weapons. Simply alerting clients of a financial institution can make a change happen. A spontaneous campaign erupted in Sweden because of a newspaper article. People were like, my bank is investing in nuclear weapons? No. And started posting on that bank's Facebook site. A couple of people in the bank said, ooh, this does not look good for us. We better get a policy going. And they did. We came back and said, hey, your policy, it's okay. It's not great. It could be a little bit better. You know, and you still have investments. Ran some more stories in the media. The bank said, oh, what do we need to do? And now they're fixing it, and they're doing public statements explaining exactly why they are divesting. They do it because a few people, a handful of people, 3-4 people, posted on their Facebook site. You can make a difference. You can take the money out of nuclear weapons. Every single one of you. And that's something that feels good. It feels like I like doing things. Doing stuff is good. So, and it works. Divestment works. Now, it's unlikely that divestment from one financial institution will create enough pressure for a company to end its involvement with nuclear weapons work. Even a few institutions might not do it. But it can have some influence. And exclusions by financial institutions can have a stigmatizing effect. And it can convince directors to decide to reduce their reliance on nuclear weapons contracts and expand into other areas. So we have a sister campaign at POX called Stop Explosive Investments. I want to tell you a happy little story from our sister campaign. There, the focus is on disinvestment from cluster munitions producers. Now, granted, cluster munitions, unlike nuclear weapons, have been clearly outlawed through a specific international treaty. Not every country in the world has signed up to that treaty, and not every company has stopped producing cluster bombs. But the divestment campaign had a specific and significant effect. Because everyone in here knows about Lockheed Martin, right? Does anyone here think that Lockheed Martin would stop producing weapons? Anybody? No? They did. And they explained that they hope their cessation of the activities in the area of cluster munitions would enable their removal from prohibited investment firms and allow investors to consider Lockheed Martin for inclusion in their portfolios. Divestment changed the production stream from Lockheed Martin. Divestment is a tool, it's a powerful tool that we have. And it shows that pressure from the financial world has an impact. Financial institutions told us they've been talking to Lockheed Martin, they've been pushing on Lockheed Martin. And Lockheed Martin came to them and said, we want your money. What do we need to do to get it? Stop making cluster bombs, some of these banks said. Lockheed Martin said, all right. It took some time, it took some work, but it got there. Three other producers have said that they are no longer involved in the production of cluster munitions because of pressure from the financial industry. And that's power that we have, and that's power that started because clients demanded their banks don't invest in unacceptable weapons. And it shows how you and I can do something. We actually have power here. So let me tell you what we can do. First, step one, find out if your bank is investing. This is the website, don'tbankonthebomb.com. Use the report, check out the lists. You know, find out if your bank is there. Check the website of your bank. Are they a subsidiary? Step two, contact the bank. Who here has online banking on their phone? A couple of people. Okay, so do you want to get your phone out now? No, I'm not kidding. Get your phone out now. Go to your online bank. There's a feedback form or a request for more information. Ask your bank, are you invested in companies associated with nuclear weapons? Just ask them. It puts the fear of stigma into them. It is amazing. The question alone is power. So contact the bank. And, you know, you contact the bank through your phone, and I see people with their phones out, and please do contact your bank right now. Send them a note. And then try to climb, you know, it's always good to climb as high as you can. So, you know, if you know somebody on the board of directors of a financial institution, talk to them. It's a simple thing, but talk to your friends, right? We get far when we talk to our friends. If you get somebody on the board of a financial institution to engage with you and interested with you, most of the time, that does it. That's it. If they're interested, if they're like, ooh, nuclear weapons, we don't do that, do we? Oh, we do? Oh, that's not good. You're halfway there. You're more than halfway there. Policy is easy to write from that point. And no matter where you go, you know, whatever way you contact your bank, don't forget to contact your bank. Now, sometimes they come back to you and they say things like, nuclear weapons aren't illegal. It's okay. Nuclear weapons are fine. And I'll tell you what, pornography isn't illegal either, but I don't want my money invested in it. All right? You have a choice on where your money goes. And once you talk to your bank, you can always consider the next step. I call step three, go public. Even the threat of going public with a campaign against a bank is enough to push them into developing a policy. Just the threat, saying, ooh, we've got 25 students and they're gonna, you know, set up a protest and picket in front of your bank on, you know, the 17th, unless you put in a policy. How about that? And you know what? At Commerzbank in Germany, they said, oh, okay, we don't want that. That's not gonna look very good. We're a people's bank. It's against our current ad campaign. Yeah, we'll put in a policy. Hey, power of, you know, we still carried out the actions because the policy wasn't very good. But they did put in a policy. And now we can work with them. We have a dialogue. And that's really important. ABP, a Dutch pension fund, was forced to change. And let me tell you how. We talked to Dutch pension funds. We're a Dutch organization. But we didn't really do a whole lot of campaigning on ABP. We thought they were a bit of a lost cause. But a Dutch TV program covered the report and covered ethical investments and did a show on ethical investments and then did an update. Ooh, this is the new report. How come ABP is still here? And ABP told the TV program the year before they were going to get out of investments. But they didn't. So the TV program ran a poll of ABP clients saying, do you want ABP, your pension, invested in nuclear weapon producers? And the poll came back with 87% saying no. So they put the TV guys, put the pension fund on the spot. We didn't really have to do anything. We had to do the research. And they took it and made it their own. Because it's a new way to come at this issue. And it's a stigmatizing effect. And that's important, because nuclear weapons are horrible, and they're unacceptable. And this is a way to show that. So divestment's not the only step that we have to take on our way to get rid of nuclear weapons, to outlaw and eliminate them. But it really is important, and it's something that every single one can do. Coordinated global efforts can put a halt to modernization. They can slow it down. They can pull the money out. They can strengthen the norm against nuclear weapons. And they can build the momentum, demonstrating whole-of-society support for a nuclear weapon-free world. Whole-of-society opposition to the legitimacy of nuclear weapons, because they are illegitimate. And if it's an illegitimate weapon, I don't want my pension invested in it. I don't want my bank invested in it. I'll leave you with one more anecdote. We have on our Hall of Fame, we have a bank called ASN. Right? It's the one with the little squirrel logo. Now, ASN Bank, we were like, oh, they've been a good guy. It's not a very big bank, but they have an amazing policy. And we said, well, you know, we're kind of running this campaign nationally to get a national law to outlaw nuclear weapons in the Netherlands. Maybe ASN would help us. So we asked them. They said yes. So now on the login page for ASN Bank, when you go to do your e-banking, you get an option to click onto our petition to outlaw nuclear weapons in the Netherlands. All right? They want to be the good guys. So I'll leave you with that thought. You know, nuclear weapons are unacceptable. Nobody wants to be associated with them. And we all have the power to do something, the power of our purse. So let's use it and go from there. Thanks.
That was Susie Snyder, the Nuclear Disarmament Program Manager for Pax Christi in the Netherlands. That's an international Catholic peace movement. She is the author of the 2013 and 14 Don't Bank on the Bomb reports and directs the website by the same name, don'tbankonthebomb.com. She spoke on March 1st, 2015 at the Symposium on the Dynamics of Possible Nuclear Extinction at the New York Academy of Medicine. The symposium was organized by the Australian physician and anti-nuclear campaigner, Dr. Helen Caldicott. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. Downloads are free, and we appreciate any size donation to keep TUC Radio on the air. Our email address is tuc@tucradio.org, and the mailing address is Post Office Box 44, Calpella, with a C, like cat, Calpella, California, 95418. My name is Maria Glodden. Thank you for listening.